C2A. Number 14B.
Now, I said I would like to spend these few summers with the main purpose of showing text interpretation, so that one would feel that the student can much easier read the textbook himself and not get lost in the text, but feel that he actually can read along a spiritual line of reasoning. We have seen that in order to do that, we take the text and reduce it to epitomes, and that the method of epitomizing is a great help for understanding a text. But the art of epitomizing is not quite an easy art at the beginning, because an epitome must always contain the core, the pith of a subject. We must be able, say, sometimes to have an epitome of a text like we had in Truth as Life, to reduce two pages just to one simple sentence, which means that we must have the ability to spiritually touch and spiritually see what is the pith of the subject. We have seen sometimes she brings in various examples of the same tone, so that we are seeing that not the examples are important, but the subject that is important, and that subject can be exemplified in many examples. Epitomizing means that therefore the core of a subject is repeated in the epitome. If we have a subject that we just want to bring out through one main tone, like here truth, then naturally in that epitome the specific idea of truth that is depicted in the text must appear, so that the epitome is a picture or is a reflection of the whole text, only that it is reduced to its main idea. If the subject is subtone, like truth as mind, then naturally both must appear in the epitome. Then the epitome must be about truth and about mind, so that those two tones appear in the text of an epitome. So I want to go here with the truth, and so that is still fresh in our consciousness. I take these epitomes, and I just want to go through with you to see if we can recognize in the epitome the combination of two tones. In the main tone of truth, we naturally only have to find that one synonym and an idea characteristic for the second chapter. So therefore here we see that the epitome reads through man's unity with truth. That's too general. We must know what aspect of truth is brought out in this chapter, and so this is brought out: true manhood is being established in us. Can you recognize truth? Truth is always that which affirms, which claims, which establishes man. The sixth day of creation is day of man, and so the establishment of true manhood is the main tone of truth. Now, the subtones will tell us how this is being established, what steps are necessary in order to establish that manhood in us. So through the subtones, we get always two tones in the epitome. And we want to see them, how they are brought out. So when you read here, truth as mind, it says that through man's unity with truth, we recognize the saving truth, idea, mind, that God is the only creator of man. That's mind. So you see truth as mind, namely that the saving truth is that we see mind as the creator of man. Can you see those two tones? Truth as the saving idea, be brought forth through mind, that God is the creator of man. We know mind as the creator. We go to spirit. How can we see their truth and spirit? Again, it is through our unity with truth. And now must come the tone of spirit, the material law, and its order of generation. Can you see the false sense of order of spirit is silenced, and man as the true offspring of spirit is born. We have all the ideas of spirit in it. Spirit is that which gives birth to an idea. So you have the spiritual offspring is being born. That's spirit. Now, can you recognize soul in the next one? That's through man's unity with truth. Now must come a tone of soul. We execute the new rule, the rule of soul. That rule of soul is what? Soul rebukes sin and blesses all mankind. See, that was in the text. That soul is that which has the rule, which doesn't say an eye for an eye, but which says, I rebuke sin and bless even my enemies, and I bless. We come to principle. There again, we see that God, that through man's unity with truth, now comes principle. The right human relationships are formed or are given. Human relationship, right relationship, principle is that which is always related to its universe. Relationship is principle. We come to life. Through man's unity with truth, we are lifted out of death ceremonies. Can you see life, the newness of life, the exaltation of life? Can you see the fifth day of creation, that the fowls fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven? It's lifting out of a death ceremonies, out of persecution, the false way of life, out of bitter experiences and afflictions, into true life. You have the exaltation of life out of a wrong sense of life into a true sense of life. Is that clear? They are very clear, these epitomes. Or in truth, we must have both truth, the absolute truth and the relative aspect of truth. Namely, through man's unity with truth, God is with us, and the true sense from the relative point of view, we are now equipped with the perception of infinite possibilities. Well, that's perhaps not always clear for the beginner, but we know really that truth is that which sees only truth, which sees through everything the truth, which has really that perception of infinite possibilities. Truth working out everything. There is nothing that cannot be worked out through truth. And finally, in love, through man's unity with truth, what is the tone of love? Really, the glory of spiritual manhood is realized in us. There are the glory of love, and it's realized in us. It means love is always one with man. That is always the unity of God and man, has that wonderful sense of love, because love says, I'm never without my manifestation. So that you get here truth and love as the glory of demonstration. Now, if that is clear, and it should be clear, then you should be able to read all the epitomes that way. And I think this is a method, so I would propose that method and say, use that method, go and read these epitomes, and slowly begin to see how in these epitomes are actually nothing else but two synonymous terms spelled out in words, in many words, that flow into one or two lines, and that are really the concentrated presentation of the larger text in the textbook. So one should get into the flow and the touch and the spiritual touch of being able to read epitomes this way. And it is just a matter of exercising and exercising. Naturally, all these epitomes in the whole epitome book for the whole textbook are not always so explicit. They are all clear, but not so explicit, because very often it is not necessary to repeat constantly the main tone, as I have done here, so as to help the student at the beginning to get into that rhythm. You could also just as well have given the epitomes in another way. You could have said, first, truth, the main tone, through man's unity with truth, through manhood is being established in us, and then formulate a question which would say, how is that true, manhood being established? Question mark. And then say as mind, just say, recognizing mind as a creator, a spirit recognizing the material law in the order of generation to be silenced. You can see, just abbreviating those terms even more, and that's the way I have done it later on very often, so that in the epitome itself, perhaps the main tone is not repeated because I've put the right question at the point, so that that is implicit in the epitome. I go a step further. If we have seen these epitomes and have seen in a sentence those two tonalities of the synonyms, you can go even further and say, I don't need the whole sentence. All what I need is the synonymous terms. So that actually in these epitomes we really could cut out everything that is written out here. And all that would have been left would just be that which is on the left-hand side of the text, which just would say that atonement and Eucharist is the Word as the Christ, defining itself through mind in its seven subtones, spirit in its seven subtones, soul in its seven subtones. And we would have the same information, absolutely the identical information. The only thing is that we must have then a very cultured sense of the tonality of the synonyms. Can you see what we do? That's now the pith of the method of epitomizing. That we had a terrific big text. Reading the terrific big text without knowing really the tonality of the three categories, we were reading sentence by sentence. We were reading word by word. And it is such a lot of information that soon after a page or two, we did not know anymore what we were reading. I think this has really, that was irritating as a as a student, before we knew how to interpret the text, was really irritating that one was reading over a page or two and finally say, what have I read? I actually don't know what I have read. The information value is so great in Mrs. Eddy's text that one just couldn't grasp what is she talking about. So in order to see what she is talking, in order to see some kind of order in the line of reasoning in her text, we are helped as a method for understanding with a method of epitomizing, namely taking a subject in the text and then take that and translate it into an epitome, into a short sentence that must contain the core of that subject and not something else. That's why it is an art. It's an art. Not everybody can do that. That too would need quite a bit of training. But I think as we go along, last year and this year and next year and so, that we really get into the flow of it, how to use that art. That art is first to define to ourselves what is the main story or subject in a text. Then take that main point and say, how can I symbolize that through the capitalized terms? And so we arrive at these epitomes. So the big text is then first reduced to the epitomes written out in sentences. And then we go a further step and take the epitomes and say, but these epitomes only symbolize the tonality of the capitalized terms. So finally, it's quite enough if I know the capitalized terms. And so the text becomes simpler. One can overlook the text much easier. And therefore, when something can be overseen easier, overseen easier, we can understand. So the whole process is a question of a method to be able to understand that process, that text. Yes. So actually, you know, when you begin to have a good, round, warm feeling about the tonality, you will feel that it is quite impressive. If you take one chapter in the epitome book and just slowly read through the epitomes, and if we have that cultured sense, you will feel that you can get hold of a whole chapter just by going over 2-3 pages of epitomes, and it depicts you really the pith, not every detail, but the pith of the chapter, and tells us what it is all about. You know, it's something like what Picasso did. I always like to think about the way he was reducing everything to essentials. You know, perhaps that bull that he was drawing one day, and he drew a bull. He was very fond of bulls. I don't know if he invested in bull market or bear market, but he had a terrific liking for bulls. So he was drawing a bull in all detail, and then a day later he took that bull and cut out what he felt was not absolutely necessary. And so he drew the same one again. And so he went on about 12 times, always cutting out what he felt is not absolutely necessary, until finally he had only a few strokes. And if you look at those few strokes, you are unmistakably seeing a bull, and not a horse or a dog. Can you see the identity was conserved by reducing, 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 reducing? The identity was preserved. there was no mistake about it, and that is what we are doing. We are somehow that kind of a Picasso that does the same thing with a text. We take a big text in all its detail, then cut out the inessential. We say, why should there be 3 or 5 or 6 examples about the same thing? We cut out the examples and take just out the main thing, and so reduce and reduce until we finally come to the bare structure of the textbook that can be spelled out just through the synonymous terms. Is that clear? If one has done that and really arrives at something quite new, namely, what we do with this epitomizing is to find structure. Can you see? Instead of having in that chapter about, I would say there are 40 pages, 400 sentences, and perhaps a few thousand terms, we reduce that to those few epitomes. It is therefore showing forth the underlying structure, the bare bones, so to say, without the flesh with it, bare bones, and you see the structure of it. But structure and structuralism is a creative process. And that's something interesting. And I wasn't thinking about that until the last few decades, that structuralism has within itself creative ability. That the structure itself, that science, reveals. Not only God reveals, Mrs. Eddy always says, science reveals. If I can understand something more and more in its blunt structure, then that structure has within itself the ability to reveal new things to us. It's quite unbelievable, isn't it? We always think, no, creative ability is when I think something new, when I have to think out something new, I have to have that creative ability. Or at least God Almighty must give me a new view, must give me an inspiration. But God is not a funny being. God is, to us, science. So I can equate, so to say, God in one way as science. Has God no science to declare himself, Mrs. Eddy asks? Therefore God has a science to declare. Therefore science is creative. So if I treat the text scientifically instead of emotionally, instead of just having a subjective interpretation of the text, then finding the structure of the text is creative. And I only want to show you one way how a structure is creative. There are many ways how seeing the structure has revealed to us, science revealed, how structure revealed to us many aspects of which we were never thinking, which we couldn't take out just on blunt text from the textbook. For instance, if we really interpret the text clearly and pure, therefore without introducing our point of view, and let really the structure of the text tell us what it is, so that we really arrive at good epitomes, which I hope we have in this chapter. Then I begin to see first, in a very something which is not spelled out in the text, namely, that first of all, the whole chapter is built up in the word order. Because our epitomes show that the first epitome is mind, the second epitome is spirit, third soul, principle, life, truth, and love, which is what? The word order. Now, the text in that chapter does not say, look here, Jesus said, you have to understand my life in the world order. No, nothing says this is the world order. But the clear text interpretation reveals to us that the order in which it is built up is in the world order. So that I know at once, oh, that's easy to remember. Therefore, if I want to have a true sense of atonement, I have just to flow along the word order. Yeah? That's one thing, how it is creative. If I look at the subtones, then I see something new. If my sub-epitomes, or the epitomes of the subtones, are correct, as I hope they are, more or less, in the epitome book, then again I see that actually Mrs. Eddy builds up every main tone in the word order. Now, the text itself doesn't spell that out. I see that from the structure. The structure tells me it's always written in the word order. Every main subject is written in the word order. I find something new. Can you see how it begins to reveal step by step something new? I can see a third thing. Just to limit the explanation to three revelations, I can see a third thing, namely that when I say to myself, well, if every main tone is revealed through seven subtones, does that word order always say the same thing? Is there a resemblance, or is there a parallel sense or a congruent sense that defines how the subtones run through the word order? Do they always run in the same way through the word order? And there, if we contemplate that specifically, we see suddenly a law running through the subtones. That the subtones in each main tone always depict the same law, and not seven different laws, but always the same law, the laws of the subtones, which you have here on the blackboard, which says, all the subtones of mind first give us a sense of action, of acting, that we have to do something about it. The second subtone in every main tone says something, act according to the line of spirit, not to another line. Act always going away from the wrong and going towards the right. The third subtone of soul always says, be persistent in that line. Persevere that line. The fourth always will say, and that you have to demonstrate in you. You have to demonstrate that for you. And the fifth subtone always says, and in order to demonstrate that in your life, you have to lay down the false sense of it. And the sixth tone says, when you have laid down the false sense of it, you only have the right sense in you. You are man. Then you have found the atonement with man. And if everyone finds the atonement with man, you come to the seventh tone that says, then everything is at one with God, and you have found your atonement with God. Do you see how scientific text interpretation is creative? Yes? Okay.